Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
Yes. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome. Welcome as you get down with the chefs. Another edition of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram. And as always, it is good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now at www.BASNNewsroom, all in phrase, .com. Shout out to the Brother Man Network and all those within. Radio Reggie, my brother, who I also give another happy belated birthday to. Pat Free in the Mayo Bar, Professor Fred Patrick, another birthday boy, BB. BB. Yes, indeed. Joe Cooper, that's a New York thing. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about, and we're also going to sprinkle over the recent draft. But for our main theme tonight, I want you to think about what else? Think. Money, money, money. I mean, we saw it on display at the draft. We saw how Kansas City, Missouri, took over 100,000 people and made them very happy for 3 days with the draft. A draft that I have to admit was fairly balanced. There was something for everybody to get. It was like serious Walmart supermarket joint. You need a linebacker here. You know, offensive tackle here. There you go. Just snatch it up. And for the most part, stuff got snatched. I can't say anybody left the draft with me scratching my head saying, what the ham sandwich is going on, to quote my brother Reggie. But ironically, it did bring something else to mind. Think about this. I was just skirting over statistics for a time, not the analytics, but the statistics. And I looked at one, Patrick Lawson Mahomes the second. Now, as you all know, Pat has been in the league 5+ years, been the playoffs every year, and he's got a couple of Super Bowls, as my brother Tony McClain comes to the play. Tony, do you know that Patrick Mahomes is 64-16 as a starter, and he has 192 touchdown passes? That's insane. I don't even think he named that 192 touchdown passes in his whole playoff career. But I digress. And good evening.
Nah. It's all hype. He's not all that good.
Yeah, no.
Those two Super Bowl wins. Nah. He's no Joe Burrow.
Yeah, no joke indeed. Well, when you put up those kind of stats, you spur people to action. And after Pat Mahomes won the first Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs signed him to a 10-year, $500 million contract, as Reggie and Gary are in the mix now. And all I got to say is, it's good money, and it's money that was well earned. And we see from what happened in the draft that teams don't have to have a Super Bowl now to make some money. Good evening, everybody. Reggie, Gary, can you hear me?
Yes,
sir.
So, as I'm bringing this up, think about this. If Patrick Mahomes is worth $500 million, he's got to be the best bargain in sports. In all seriousness, given the fact that Jalen Hurts from my Eagles signed a new contract that pays him $51 million per season for 5 seasons. And I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, we decided to give you $52 million per season. And now you make it $250 million in your contract. So we know the number can only go up because, as Tony likes to say, if so-and-so is making X amount of dollars, then somebody else is making X, X, X. So,
to play along with that, guess what city just hosted the NFL draft and probably made a couple more bucks?
Exactly.
There you go.
And Michael, this is the most watched Super Bowl in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, it was. It was the most watched, and it was well played on top of it. So they can't blame the brothers for anything. But you know, white folks being white folks, it's never going to be enough. They could play it like they were Superman. Well, they were very efficient. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles drove up and down the field and scored 35 points. That would win most Super Bowls. But they played against the great Mahomes. And game of Mahomes proved to be the victor. So, $500 million, homeboy got his money. Mr. Jackson got his money. Mr. Hurts donut got his money. But you know,
and even Geno got a little bump up this year as well,
Geno
as a comeback player of
the year. You're right. Geno, they treat it like a redheaded stepchild. Geno's got comeback player of the year with the Seahawks. Much to the chagrin of Pete Carroll, who I don't think is all that good. And he revived his career. And just like Elvis or Levis, whatever the fuck his name is, was left on day one of draft day, Geno Smith was left on day one of draft day. And they treated him like shit. It was like, they were annoyed that he was actually there. And I think when he won that award, there was some karma in his back pocket. And he finally got the respect that was due him. So good on Geno for that shit. But as Patrick is making $500 million, he's really saving the league money because other financial options have been snatched away. And what I mean by other financial options, I mean Jerry Jones has yet to sell his soul, but don't think he's not thinking about it. Reggie, you for a long time always talked about how Jerry Jones hates the fact that Dallas can get that white man the quarterback that he needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sad part about it, I don't know. And first of all, good evening, gentlemen. But after I answer that, I'd like to take 2 minutes, if I could, real quick, to kind of explain something in the Lama. Permission just to go 2 minutes and let you guys know what's going on, if I could.
Oh, please, the floor will grab 2 minutes to distinguished gentleman from Virginia.
I got a call today from my wife, and the shooting that happened in Atlanta was where her baby sister worked at. That was her department, and she was the staff manager in charge. See how the creator works. She, 10 minutes before the shooting, had to take her father to his appointment, and that was just God's work. First of all, our prayers go out to the family of the unfortunate victim that was shot and killed, a young lady, and the four of us. But,
yes, sir.
You know, you kind of see things on TV all the time, and you kind of numb to it until it kind of hit home.
Yep.
And, you know, here we're in Richmond, Virginia, and we get a call, you know, that my sister-in-law, place of employment, you know, had an attack. And the sad part about it was he was military, had some problems, and I'm not trying to get a guy passed, but sometimes if you speak to people a certain way, they're subject to go off. And we've all been through that situation where people come slick out their mouth. And in Atlanta, anybody can pack a gun. So when he walked up in there, he was packing. I'm sure nobody knew it. But they're going to have to look at not only repealing some laws, but no firearm in places of business. So my last thing, I just want to say thank you for allowing me just to get that information out. And I can go back to Mr. Jerry Jones. I thought it was interesting that one of the scouts' son, the young running back from Kansas, was drafted by the Cowboys. And that's a cute little story. But when you see Jerry Jones and his actions, especially when Kaepernick took a knee and Black Lives Matter, and oh, yes, not to forget Jerry Arkansas Jones standing off the side while his brothers were keeping young black students out of a school. Just because you do one little good faith judgment that doesn't have any bearing at all doesn't move me. He showed his cracker ass, his rich saltine cracker ass, when he said anybody that take a knee, I'm firing their ass. And he made his derogatory comments. So just to me, he's just another Tucker Carlson, just like the NFL, white supremacist. And when people think that these are the good deeds he's doing, this bitch walks around here with a $500 million yacht, more money than God have, and yet to this day he's never have had anybody of color in a high-level position. Just check the record. So I had no respect for him at all.
That's true. And I think it's most insulting that he has a bona fide quarterback in Dak Prescott, and he treats him like shit. And a lot of people think, "Oh no, wait a minute, he's a multimillionaire. Dak is getting paid. Dak is winning games, and yeah, Dak is winning games. Dak is 97-61 as a starter. Been in the league a couple of years longer than Mahomes, but and we know we're brothers. There's always that but, and I don't mean Bertha, Betty Butt, Bella Butt." Or Bathsheba Butt.
Bathsheba Butt. He's my favorite.
Yeah, I like Bathsheba Butt. He's just heavier than others. But we know they can't handle the fact that the Elvis factor is always sitting, laying in wait. That kid, Levis or Nevis, whatever the fuck his name was waiting to be picked. And Jerry Jones had him in sight. Dallas could have snatched him up. It wouldn't have cost him anything except for the contract and the bonus money. And they backed off. He wasn't the white guy. They didn't want a white guy. They wanted the white guy. And I don't know if the white guy still exists. But, gentlemen, we are on the horns of a dilemma. As the field generals have proven their mettle, Jalen Hurts is 23-11, and he got paid. Brother Jackson is 46-15, and he got paid. But we know that in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow is waiting for his check. In Buffalo, I forget the kid's name in Buffalo.
Allen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like him. He's waiting for his pay. And in Duval, the kid in Jacksonville is waiting for his cut.
Mr. Rogers and your neighborhood now.
Oh, yeah,
he
knows that.
But he ain't going. Yeah, they can only pay him, but they can only pay Serpico, but so much though. So because remember,
yeah, exactly.
he's on serious borrowed
time. He's on
borrowed
time.
Yeah,
that's right.
And don't get San Diego Chargers quarterback. He's going to get paid
right,
too.
Or Justin Herbert.
Oh,
Justin. Yeah.
So
Justin Herbert.
Is there as the price goes up? You know, nobody can say nothing about Mahomes. He's getting his, and he's worth every fucking penny. He makes the playoffs every year. You don't have to worry about him off the court or off the field. And marketing-wise, he's the commercial guy's dream. He makes the goofy commercials. He's harmless.
He's probably Mike, a la Dr. Tongue, formerly of Chicago by way of Brooklyn. He's in that stratosphere in the sense where he's probably making maybe a little bit more with his endorsements than his salary. Now his salary is, you know, pretty decent. But
true.
He might be, you know, he's one of the few that's actually making either just as much or a little bit more than what he's making when he's under center.
No question. And while we can always say that Mr. LeBron James is the cash cow.
It may be even more on display this year if the playoffs play out the way things may go.
Thank you, Kyle.
I believe there's a dirty rat in the room too. I believe there's a dirty rat in the room.
A dirty rat?
Yes.
Oh no! Wait a minute.
Yes. No.
You
okay.
Know
the reason why I say it is because of this.
Yes.
You sit there and you know that I'm going to get your kids shoot outside 20 feet. You go man to man again. What's wrong with you?
That's a question for our Lord and Savior, Mr. Kerr, isn't it?
Yeah, no shit. I saw that game last night. It was a decent game. But we know that the Lakers will only go as far as LeBron and the referees will allow. And we know the Dubs take some shots. The Dubs always take shots. You have to worry about that. They're going to get theirs. Whether theirs go in or not is the question. And
Michael. They played a zone, not a third quarter. They played a zone defense against the Lakers.
Right.
They were down 16 points. They
right.
Went to the zone.
Right.
Within 3 minutes and 45 seconds, that score was tied.
Yes, that's right.
So my question is, that's why it's about rat, because you knew at the beginning of this series that the other Lakers can't shoot. Therefore, if I am the Golden State Warriors coach, I'm going zone all game.
Well, it remains to be seen. We're just getting started. And remember, it's the first of four. But get back to our football thing here. Patrick Mahomes is the poster boy and the gold standard for the league. And on top of everything else, they don't have to play skin games with him because with his light skin and his goofy visage, he's harmless in compared to what others have. In terms of marketing, I see Dak Prescott doing commercials for bedding, and he's asleep half the time. But there's nothing in there that says he's inexcusable or offensive or anything like that. Pat Mahomes is earning every penny thereabouts, and he's getting some and actually giving some back. This draft and the money that was made from it is indication of that. But is he a billion-dollar brother? And will the billion-dollar brother sign his name to a check over the next year?
Well, not to play devil's advocate, but he doesn't have to, really. Because remember, he's already taken some money back, so they could sign guys and everything else. He doesn't.
Right.
Here's the thing. I think it's pretty well established, you know, that he is the number one quarterback in the league. I don't think there's any, I don't think there's any question about that.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, and we got to be whatever with it. Just because he's not the highest paid guy, although I would think I can't think of anyone right now that's making more than him, you know, overall. I know Lamar's deal was he has the most, I guess, per season, but I think
right.
Lamar, I think Mahomes is overall contract. Well, yeah, that's it. And see, in the NFL, that's, you know, of course, that's the caveat, you know, the whole, you know, take home money as opposed to deferred. But see, here's the thing. I don't think that, you know, and again, I don't want to try to speak for him, but I'm just looking, but again, looking at it big picture wise. Just put it this way. Let Burrow make the most money. He's still got to catch up with them rings.
True.
You know, remember they tried to say that that Arrowhead is a second home for a second home for the Bengals. Well, they put it this way. Well, basically they just said you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the fuck out of here.
And take them Jason Whitlock ribs with you.
and that's the big thing. And see, here's the big thing. Now, you know, and again, whether we think this is a come to Jesus moment or what have you, you got three new brothers, basically. You know, you got three brothers, new brothers coming in, all with a possibility, all with a good possibility of starting either their first year or within their second year, like Mahomes.
Hey, T-Mac, I got to ask a question. To see the girl on the European side from Kentucky, was it me or my imagination? She looked at them and said, why these niggas go in front of him? So that was a big salary drop he lost from
second round money. You know what? At the end of the day, I don't think he was that good. I mean, look, it was more of a hype. I'm still trying to figure out how he became so. We heard a little bit about him during the regular season, but all of a sudden, when the draft comes up, all of a sudden, you know, again, they tried to give him the Trubisky, Gabbard, whatever. But I think what wound up happening was all of a sudden everybody turned into Axel Foley and said, I'm not going for the banana in the tailpipe. And they went with the kid who could play. And see, with Carolina, with Houston, and again, why do I keep forgetting where Mr. Richardson went to?
Indianapolis.
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 Yeah. I mean,
there's a possibility, at the very least, they're all going to do, I don't know if they'll all start opening day.
I'm saying no, probably, all of them start opening day. I'm calling myself.
Well, I think one of them, I think Young, barring something crazy, he's going to be your opening day starter. I think Young is a starter. Well, remember now. Well, with Indy, what's the alternative? I'm getting to that, guys. See, here's what this, I'm getting to that because see, we got new blood coming in, but you've already got Mr. Fields in Chicago. We got Love in Green Bay, and I do feel if he's given a fair opportunity to start, I think Lance can play in this league as well.
But
I'm saying wherever he winds up going, I think it's safe to say, you know, barring something really crazy, he's probably played his last game for the Niners, and it's kind of bullshit because he really wasn't given an opportunity to whatever. But such is life for the brothers in the NFL. But that being said, I don't think this is something where the NFL is having a kumbaya moment or what have you. But see, here's the thing. You look at these three franchises that we just talked about, Carolina, Houston, and Indy. They want to win. Their fan bases are it's hard to say whose fan base is starved the most because, you know, Carolina has been masquerading as an NFL franchise for the last couple of years. You know,
yeah.
They did have
two Super Bowl appearances, though, T. Unlike some people like Detroit.
But that was like 5 years ago. The Super Bowl appearance. I'm talking about the last five years.
Hey, but T, here's my question. Ask the people that will be happy to get that, like Detroit Lions.
Well, let's face it. The Lions have a much better upside right now in Carolina.
Oh, I agree.
But see, we got it. You know, I know what you're saying. You know, historically that they've been starving, but they're on their way. You know, a couple of wins, a couple of losses, they might have snuck in the playoffs last year. They're probably. I would think, you know, there's a playoff possibility for them this year. I'm not really, I don't think it's a slam dunk. I think they're going to have to, you know, take it to another level. But I'm just saying with Carolina, with Houston, and even though the Colts have been there over a quarter of a century, they're still starving. Those are three fan bases that are like, you know, you could put Boo Boo the Fool at quarterback as long as he wins. Now they don't have neither one of them are cousins or nephews to Boo Boo. The thing is, they all come in with credentials, and as we always say, if they put some talent around them, they'll be fine. Because see, thing is, like the subtle difference, unfortunately, now with the brothers that come in, as opposed to the anointed white guys, Jacksonville went out and got weapons. Cincinnati went out and got weapons. LA went out and got weapons. Now, thankfully for Patrick, you know, they got weapons. Thankfully for Zach, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, they've gotten weapons. But in a sense, Lamar is still sort of waiting for his weapons. Justin Fields was, and as I said, this is a guy coming off of a knee surgery and hasn't played in a year, and this ain't the Odell that was a top 10 pick 10 years ago. This is a guy that's got some baggage. that's mm-hmm. some baggage. You know, Miss Prissy is basically playing on reputation right now. He's still,
yeah.
you know, yeah, he's playing on reputation. The first weapon Fields gets will you know the next weapon Fields gets will be his first, and
yeah.
it's not now. You talked about the kid from Kentucky. Now he got drafted by Tennessee. Now Tennessee is in a very weird place because
how many quarterbacks they got? They drafted one last year from Liberty.
Well, that's the thing. Now, Tannehill. Yeah. They drafted the kid from Liberty. Tannehill is the starter by proxy, but you know, to me, you know, we talk about Serpico being on borrowed time in New York. You can actually hear the clock ticking every time Ryan Tannehill walks on the field. As far as I'm concerned, now personally, as much as these folks whined and bitched about it, the kid from Kentucky going to Tennessee might wind up being the best thing to happen to him because, you know, they want you know let's face it, they're probably a fan base that would rather see a different a non-colored hue under center as opposed to what's happened over the years. But that all that being said, the league, you know, and again, you're never going to change attitudes or whatever, but I think what will always wind up happening is teams that want to win are going to do what it takes that want to win, and I think that's what
they're
doing
now.
What was I saying all during the whole time? What's their plan B? We never, because and luckily for them, they didn't have to go to it. They didn't
that's
have to
right.
go to it because if you know, with all due respect to Mr. Huntley, if he was plan B, then that's not much of a plan. That's not much of a plan.
It's not much of a plan. And think about this. As we get closer and closer, dollar-wise, as contracts go up and bonuses go up, Levis or Elvis, whatever the fuck his name is, left the building without first-round bonus money, which means he's out at least $5 million. He got the veteran mix as well. And as we size up what's going to happen, we know that one of these three-ass boys, whether it's Serpico or whether it's Allen in Buffalo or Lawrence in Jacksonville or Burrow in Cincinnati, they're going to ask for money. And when they ask how much, they're going to say, being a dollar more than what you gave that nigga in Philadelphia or in Baltimore because that's how much it means to them. They don't care about anything except the fact that how dare these black men make more money than me, as I guess.
No, but see, and you know what? Let them get that extra dollar because here's the deal. That extra dollar ain't going to guarantee you another the two rings that Patrick already has.
Sure.
See, to me, it's like, you know how when they have those little when they talk about, you know, so-and-so, if you go by, like, the top 10 jersey sales or whatever?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all fine and dandy, but you win. I mean, see, here's the thing, especially in the NFL now, and we've said it for years, and Mike is, you know, the NFL, much like the world in general, is getting darker, and then most importantly, it's getting darker at the most recognized position on the field, and that's the quarterback.
Definitely.
You already had basically a dozen guys start opening day this year for, I think, like either the second or third time in the last 4 or 5 years. You still got other guys in the background that could, if given a fair opportunity, could bump that up to another, say, 2 to 3 guys. And now
yep.
you've got three kids that are coming in. You've got three kids coming in very, you know, decent situations. Now, people are going to try to bury them after the first exhibition game. Oh, he's not ready. He's not ready. He's not ready. Yeah, we know they're going to, you know, we all know how that dance is going to play out. You know, the first mm-hmm. interception or the first game where they don't throw for 60%, they're going to be ready to call them. They're going to be ready to call them bust and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, there's guys all over the league that have been given 15,000 quadrillion chances, but they won't say bust. They won't say bust.
No,
They'll just say, well, he hasn't been in the right situation. Well, the right situation may be his ass on his couch.
Exactly.
Amen. Bye.
Yeah, and see, at the end of the day, as much as we do the bitching and moaning with the NFL, and rightfully so, you almost have to look at that. You have to look everything in 32 individual cases, and we know the teams that try to win the salary cap Super Bowl every year. We know
yep,
the teams. We do,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And we know the teams that do just enough so that their fan base doesn't come at them with tiki torches. And then you got the ones that literally wait for the season ticket holder and TV money and then just say, okay, we're good. So, and see, now with the obscene money that they're probably going to be getting from the new Sunday ticket package, the money, well, it's not like the money wasn't there before anyway, but we all know now that the money is there. Because even Jacksonville, who is considered a small market, so to speak, they're not going to be able to, how are they going to look at their fan base and tell you that they're not going to spend money on Lawrence?
Thank you. That's exactly right. They cannot say they're not going to hold up and improve the team. The first thing the fans will say is, are your bunny rabbit blinking minds? Because everybody else is upgrading. Everybody else is upgrading. I got the sus with me, Fred. Good evening, and as we sit here and compute the calendars on the contracts of the brothers, we know there's 3 or 4 white quarterbacks that will be expecting, let's just say, significant paydays in the near future. What do you think, and what was the reaction to Carolina down there? And Ryan and the quarterback selection.
Oh, good evening. Basically, they went bonkers. And being able to get him first draft choice. First pick and all that other stuff. We're not sure what they gave up to get him, but, you know, they made the trades. The situation here is kind of mixed because on one hand, look at what the new coach is following. An asshole that didn't even know he had an asshole was in charge of the team for 4 years. So, mm-hmm. you know, just the basic nuances of professional football were foreign, like Russian, to the previous coaching staff. And
okay.
if there was somebody on the staff who, we know there was somebody, there was at least one somebody on the team that was relatively smart because he took over after he couldn't take
right.
after the owner finally decided, you know, this ship will become the Titanic, and it's day two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, again, everybody's kind of, well, correction, those who are Carolina fans went bonkers. Ooh, we got the number one pick. Ain't nobody saying nothing about this guy short. So the Russell Wilson said, we ain't heard none of that.
Right.
And it's kind of funny because one of the people that was standing next to him in one of the pictures was a young lady. I'm not sure if she played volleyball or basketball or whatever, but, you know, she had a little stretch to her.
Okay.
I.e., she was tall as he was. Now, maybe, you know, maybe she had on, instead of having on sneakers, she had on heels, that's hard to say. But the point is this. They better hope homeboy grows some more, because if not, we're back to the days when Georgia Southern was playing and they had this really good option quarterback. Matter of fact, they had about four or five of them in a row.
Tracy,
one was 6 feet tall. Now, when it was the ham bone, we knew he was going to run.
Right.
They don't want this. You know, for what they're going to pay this brother? This is one brother they're going to pay. Don't run. Okay. They couldn't keep Ham in Cam Newton in the pocket. He was 6'4", 6'5", 250.
Yep.
You know, he was about 5 pounds short of becoming an offensive lineman, which probably would have been good for him. Wink. But at any rate, the atmosphere here, they brought him in. People were falling all over themselves. Now, the thing that I noticed, this is just my little Black History thing. The thing that I noticed was at the stadium during the draft, I saw a place where there were some brothers and a few sisters hanging around, but it was almost like watching the Hurricanes. When you see a brother here and a brother there, there was not enough melanin, shall we say, in the crowd, whether we're talking draft night or the night when they were doing when they had their beat on drum, keep pounding. I saw him and a two or three other brothers and a few other players who were in town. Reading, but maybe it was just me. I just did not see another Negroids around hanging out with her. And it never really explained. They ain't going to watch the Charlotte Hornets play. We already got that stuff. So
you're right about that.
And get this. The Hurricanes are playing in the playoffs. I think we start tonight, as a matter of fact.
They're playing as we speak.
Are they up 2-1 or 1-1? I think they're up, aren't they?
They were up 4-2. I was flipping between that and the Sixers and the Green Meanies from Boston.
Yeah. No, I was saying that as far as the games, are they up 2-1? Carolina?
No. This first game.
The
first game of the semifinals. Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. Well, the Boston Bruins fans are still upset. That's another 2-hour show.
But my point was this: the Charlotte Hornets are literally Charlotte's team. There is no Carolina Hornets. There are probably more people in South Carolina who would admit they follow the Hornets because there's nothing here. Carolina, Duke, where my nephew's going after next year.
God bless
you. NC State, listen, Winston-Salem State and Danville State are more popular in this area than the Charlotte Hornets, okay?
Because of that, they're the world's tallest midget.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they don't put any real effort in cultivating this part of their market, which would double their practically double their dollars. But part of it is Michael doesn't want to do anything that's going to take away from his beloved Carolina. And
Michael won't be there too much longer anyway.
Panthers do something. At least they have a TV show in this area, and then they do two or three events annually, and they support a lot of things in the Eastern North Carolina. So they go all the way to the coast, but the state is sort of divided in about half by the Yakin River, which is about 40 miles west of us, well, about 50 miles west of us. Mm-hmm. And where the Yakin River comes through, it's just like there's no television. They may or may not broadcast something about them on the evening news.
Uh-huh.
And see, now evening news is at 10, 11, and we just don't hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they're talking about doing is making sure he touches base. The young man he's coming in, he touches bases with, it's called broadening the base. So they're talking about coming further east. And so they got some things they're talking about planning over the summer, him to make appearances in Eastern North Carolina.
Right. Hey, Professor, something I want to throw at you. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to crow. Recently, Deion claimed he was so upset with the NFL for only having one HBCU player drafted. You have been talking about he who has the gold rule, which means the owners can pick who they want. Just want to get your thoughts about, once again, HBCU football and not being respected by the NFL.
Well, if you look in the in Luke Williams' paper, the sports page, they have a breakdown going back to, I want to say, the late 60s, year by year. And unfortunately, you got to see this. They had for several of those early years, they had 50 plus guys drafted to HBCUs. And remember, I think the draft was back then was as many as 12, 15 players, but you had probably a dozen less teams. And being in 68, we're talking about 68, 69, we're talking about AFL and NFL. So, and you know most of them were going to the AFL at that time, most likely. But you know, the thing that sticks out is going back over the last, say, two decades, everything seemingly, as I recall it, everything is one digit, including several zeros.
Right.
So, storming HBCUs on the day after the draft is nothing new. It's what the NFL has done as of late, not only when it comes to HBCUs, but Division II, NAIA, they don't even. Although there's not that many teams there anyway, but you know they don't hide their lack of respect for the quote unquote smaller schools.
It is a lack of respect because on day three I saw a player chosen from Wagner.
Wagner is a school located in Staten Island, New York. I mean, it would be considered Division III back in the day. And then there was another player that was chosen from Old Dominion. Not the Old Dominion didn't have a rep, but Old Dominion is not even a 1AA school. I got Patrick Farrar in the mix as well. So,
what's up, family?
Thing about
what's
if
up?
A guy can play, they'll find him. But will they bother to look for him if he's in Wagner or Old Dominion? Patrick, can you hear me?
Yes, what's up, folks? How's everybody doing tonight?
All right, fam.
Doing good, doing good.
I want to piggyback on something Fred was saying. Fred, that list that you talked about, I've seen a list similar to that year by year, and it's scathing how it's diminished. I can only give a perspective from my years in the press box and being around two teams and talking to scouts over the years. You know, just like the broadcasters have diminished in terms of black presence, the number of black scouts are good, but it's not what it used to be. So if I know too many guys, I mean classic guys who are connected with, you know, the networking that they get is not in the orbit which reflects the kind of outlook that would want to go to a black school except hearing about it. So I'm not surprised. I've seen guys who they've had in the press box and the scouts I've sitting next to. They have my only thing they knew about HBCU was Eddie Robinson, and they're going out scouting. And then when they have some brothers who do go out, you know, the other thing that I do know that is lined up with people from players not being drafted is systems. There are systems that people will align themselves with. Oh, he knows my system. That means less time I'll spend on him to see if he can play. Because we all know if they bring 90 guys into camp, you know, they got 40 to 45 already going to make the team. So if you're not acclimated to the systems, even down to how you do the exercise and the drills, if you're not acclimated to that, people aren't going to take much time because they want to put more time on guys who know things to understand the systems. It's just one of the things that leads to HBCU players not being picked. But another one that I've known over the years, and somebody mentioned it. I tell you, mentioned it the other day. Bart Scott mentioned the other day on the radio. He mentioned very briefly. Bart Scott said one of the things that people don't understand about football, football players and football, if a guy gives you five plays, for the most part, people think you get five plays, you just got those five plays. But in professional football, with study and systems, those five plays leads to 55 plays, and you've got to adjust each one. Now, if you're not using those systems to understand how it works, when somebody from HBCU school small goes in, you got to – that's a lot of study you got to do for somebody who already knows, and you just might be twice as good, but are they going to put that time into you? So it's a shame. You can't tell me out of all the HBC players you don't go draft one. I don't even want to hear it. It's that guys they have the right guys in the right place to make the right decisions.
Exactly.
Well, you know, okay. Let me back up what he said. If you remember in the movie when Denzel was talking about what we run split veer, and he named six plays that they run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those six plays set up everything that, remember these are option plays. Those plays are set in such a way that one play equals five, six plays equals 55.
Right.
And everything has a run, everything has a pitch, everything has a short pass, everything has a long pass. Okay? I have studied for the last 6 months. I have studied the Georgia Southern option, which they ran to six. Let's see, six national division one NCAA championship.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took that. And remember, even though the coach retired, the next three coaches ran the same offense, the same quote unquote boring defense. But the first period, you got up on you. Second period, they sealed your fate. Third period, one, you didn't score. But they did. Fourth period, they went to the, you know, most of your starters went to the bench because there's no way you can catch up with them. And it was so embedded into their quote-unquote system that when they changed players from year to year, every year during that time, for 20-some years, they had seniors graduating. And in that same 30-plus years, I think they've had two losing seasons. And see, I take an interest in them because I actually coached against them their first or second year when they were still a quote-unquote club team. But they ran the veer initially, then they went to the double wing power option. And I forget the young man's name, but he was their leading rusher. This was after Pam. This guy was actually a 205-pound fullback, but he set the pace. He went. He not only led the nation in scoring scoring in touchdowns 2 years in a row. He also went into the pros and played for Minnesota for about a decade, and he was running over people there. And I think, you know, that system that they set in place, systems are great, and if you get a workable one, you stay with it. Most people in football and basketball too, they outthink themselves, and at the end of the day, they end up as ex-coaches talking about how their players didn't perform for them.
And Fred, here's the problem. That works at that level, pro level. They got a different system. They got to teach guys a whole. And these guys, some guys are not going to take that time because their jobs are on the line too. That's the problem. Guys can play, but all they have to do is have enough time to get these guys acclimated to play. But, you know, in the words of my dad, God rest his sweet love and soul in heaven, he said, boy, you can find whatever you want to find if you want to find it.
But guys, let me go back to my original theme. You know, they went to Kansas City. Kansas City made money off the draft.
Yes, they did.
New millionaires made money getting their bonuses.
Yes, they made money.
Fortunately, Elvis or Levis, whatever the fuck his name was, left the building without a first-round bonus. He didn't deserve it. From what I saw, the boy ain't shit. But having said all that, we know that one day, Cincinnati's going to strip Burrow down, especially if he gets into another Super Bowl.
Sure enough.
It's not even going to be about the contract. It'll be, how much would you like, sir? You know, Jackson had to fight for his money. Hurts had to earn his money. No argument with either one. But, Burrow, they're going to give him the money. He's not going to have to ask. My question is it going to be closer to $1 billion than we thought? Because
no,
an idea of $1 billion, brother, I know that's not very far-fetched to anyone. But
Mike, I'm going to tell you, Mike, they ain't giving no player no $1 billion. You know why? Here's why. First of all, they claim about giving Deshaun Watson $230 million.
They're mad at the lifestyle of LeBron James. You can hear on these talk shows. He's just about that.
And the thing with the contract that Mahomes has, like you said, they pay for it already. But that's one of those contracts is an outlier. All right.
Yeah.
Now I believe if Joe Burrow won two bowls in a row, he can get close to maybe 550. I believe that. But a billionaires don't get billionaires to players. That don't happen.
No matter how good she looks.
Thank you very much. They ain't doing it.
Hey, but Patrick, here's my question, Patrick. How many players have the guts to do what Lamar did and go on their own and not have no agent and save them some money, but do they have the intestine fortitude to stick it out like Lamar did?
Not many. And obviously, his mother don't believe. Now, I was wondering if he needed an agent. He did get an agent for a while, but it didn't work. Well, it didn't meet the satisfaction he wanted. But I know that she has gotten information to back up what she wanted to do. It wasn't osmosis. I can tell you that's for sure. She has some information. But again, like you said, Reg, you going to take that risk? You going to take that risk?
Happy Mother's Day to Miss Jackson.
Don't tell you, the only other guy she can do that, but he got an agent, would do that, would be Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow can sit back and get what he wants. Other than that, no. But again, if Joe Burrow wins two Super Bowls, he gonna be the outlier with the contract. I guarantee that because obviously the young man is good, but also he fits the framework of the image that they want with the league.
Right, but Patrick, okay, the young lady that represents my man quarterback in Philly, how many new agents she's going to get now with representing my man in Philly?
Oh, she's got about five of us already. I know. She got five of us already.
She's going to pick up.
Already she got five of us.
In terms of the league's event calendar, the next event is when they bring out the schedule, which is this month. Now,
May the 11th.
Yeah, May the 11th? Okay. So, obviously, now the issue is going to be who's playing who and what the gamblers will be looking out for. Mm-hmm. The league made money off of everything. I mean, even the fact that they're going to tell you what games are coming, what to look for. This is a league that is pissing money right now everywhere. The NFL ain't losing any kind of money, no kind of way. So
and go.
No, so it behooves them to pay attention to the pulse. And Fred, you talk about sports entertainment all the time. So what do you think the NFL is going to do with all this? Now that they seem to be sitting kind of fat cash-wise with all the money they're making from the draft and all these other non-event events.
It worked adding to what they did. Do you all remember? Do any of y'all remember what the draft used to be? The draft used to be what, one night, one big room, you sit down. You look like you were in a lecture hall on a college campus. They have one or two phones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they have built it into something that it's an event today unto itself. And
yes,
because
it
of that, what you're going to see is more and more craziness. Again, we can all remember the championship, what do they call it? The professional football championship. Eventually, it became the, quote, Super Bowl.
Right.
They keep adding to it. remember they had 15, 20 minutes for halftime. Now you got to warm up. You got to fully warm up after halftime.
There you go.
You had Gremlins Bay.
You have 11 minutes. You got 10 minutes. And what's that most Fred? The platforms that they're putting together now, I'm going to tell you one that's going to explode, and I'm probably part of it. YouTube is getting involved with NFL, where you can click into your out of regional games. So if you're a Steelers fan and you live in North Carolina, YouTube is going to provide you an option to go watch that game where you ain't got to go to the dish. Yes, indeed. That's gonna piss money. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
Gary, you know something, Gary? What's happening now, the numbers for cable in regards to sports, teams now are getting away from putting their regional programming on cable to streaming. To save
that's
money.
Exactly
and have the money go right to
save
them.
The money in their pocket. Put them in their pocket. Yeah.
That's deeply embedded into the system now because, Winston-Salem State was streaming games. When they still had baseball, they were streaming baseball, 5-6 years ago?
We had the same
scenario going on with softball. I can actually watch when, just before the pandemic, Winston played Claflin for the conference championship.
Mm-hmm.
And, when it's that simple for an HBCU, a Division II HBCU to do that, can you imagine the power and emphasis with the equipment and money behind or goes into a similar situation with the NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball team? The sky's the limit. Anything they can get butts in the seat to come see him play in or butts in front of on the couch or wherever you want to sit, wherever you're streaming. Because I know something in this area, when they advertise them, one thing you hear is, oh, and whatever your streaming source.
That's it. That's it. 100%.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hey, Patrick, how significant was it those three quarterbacks come out with Black and the Europeans sitting there in the second round? How significant was that?
It symbolically it looked good. Now let's see if it works. Because if they don't play well, it's going to be that way next year. They got three brothers playing.
Well, that's exactly right. Well, didn't they have a 6 Black quarterbacks drafted this year? They had a good high number, didn't they? I know the kid that dad played for A&T went to the one from Tennessee. He went to the Lions, and his brother and dad played for North Carolina A&T.
Hooker. His dad is Alan Hooker. He played back in the '80s.
Fair Hooker played with the Browns. Are they related?
He went to the Browns. I remember that. I remember his name. He was a unique rather player. Look at what's going on here. You got the players. The players got the bonuses, and the league benefits from both, and they benefit from the streaming. Tony talked about the Sunday ticket a couple weeks ago. You know how much a Sunday ticket package is? $369 for the whole season. That's basically $20 a week. A gambler will pay $20 a week to stay on top of that.
You think
they'll
they won't
look at it as a business expense? But look at what the NFL is doing. All this money is coming around, and it's not TV money. It's not fantasy football money. It's not bet money. It's all straight gambling. All straight gambling. The NFL could never dream they'd get away with this, but they have.
What,
think about this. You're the average Joe, right? Average Joe.
Right.
You don't have much money, right? You want to watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
But then, okay, what? MLB and NFL and NHL tell you this?
Yep.
You had to go to a sports bar. You had to go to your neighbors. If you that to me, and that goes back to 1980. I remember it very clear, 1980.
Yep.
1980 was the first time cable came out. 1980, I wanted to go see the Mets. The Mets had WGN and WOR, same cable network. 9:30 at night, they switched from WR to WTN. You had no choice. I was on, and you couldn't do anything.
Well, Garrett, that, well, cable and Columbus, which was, again, Columbus is text market for everything in the country, from hamburgers, you know, to toilet bowls. They test everything in Columbus. Well, they had cable in 1977, but all the, you pushed a button on this console to get channels rhythm and turning. It was the first time they had done that, and it was wired up. As a matter of fact, how do I know? I auditioned for the one of the shows at the station. I didn't get it.
Oh,
another guy got it. Another guy got it. You might know his name, Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer got the job, along with another woman, a person named Marie Morrison on CBS. She does feature pieces. Yeah, she graduated from law school. Didn't want to go to law school. She wanted to jump in TV. The rest is history. But they were showing games on cable from that box. But Gary's point is right. The streaming aspect is going up because, like I said before, cable subscriptions are coming down exponentially, which is why ESPN is laying off 7,000 people. Please, laying off 7,000 folks. And that includes some executives, too. That's they're going to. Because of the fact that the streaming has hit the subscription so hard. But, again, it's going to raise the profile of streaming to some flexibility to make more money. Again, that I just agree with somebody I know who's still involved in that area of TV marketing. The YouTube piece is something I'm really intrigued about. Because I like seeing the Browns play for the week. I have to wait. Of course, I had it on NFL Pass, but they streamlined that. So I said, damn that, when they're going to do the YouTube, you can go right into the game, you know, live. I said, okay. I mean, folks will jump all over that from who have teams and different. And imagine, look at this. Imagine all the roaches in the NFL. You know who the roaches are, don't you? The Cowboy fans. Imagine all the roaches in the country that's going to hook into a Cowboy game. On these platforms like YouTube and streaming, man.
Cowboy fans, Raider fans.
Yes.
And Pittsburgh Steelers. Those three franchises. Keep them in business,
by the way, Steelers did a hell of a job in that draft. Good God.
They did a hell of a job. I like that tight end they got in the third round.
Oh, God.
He was a big
round.
6'7".
Oh.
He reminds me of Eric Green.
Oh, God. I shook my head. We're going to pay that clown twice a year. Oh, good God.
But
anyway,
you know what you have to do with it. You're talking about a talent base of about 20,000 athletes. If you can't find nothing in there, set on your head. So
yeah. Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
You got a market where people are begging for your product and people are begging to work for you. After the draft is over, they're going to invite at least another 15 to 20 guys to camp. And then there are guys that come from the other leagues, the XFL, USFL, CFL, and they come in to catch a shot. They call them camp meet. And sometimes they disrespect them by not treating them properly and saying, well, they play a different kind of ball. But they can afford to say that because if they survive it all, they're going to make at least $500,000 a year. They'll take the risk of one guy beating the odds over several guys just getting beaten.
I tell you what, Mike, that those XFL numbers and the USFL numbers ain't bad.
Yeah. And shout out to Reggie Barlow, coaching the championship game from Virginia State and also Alabama. A&M or State professor? Which school did he coach at?
Alabama State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The numbers ain't bad.
And they've been getting some big love up in D.C. Hey, yeah. Look, they like him better than Ron Rivera.
Yeah. Yep. By the way, Reggie, in D.C., did you see that proposed stadium they want to build for outside of D.C., man?
Man, I can't believe it.
In Virginia? Lord have mercy.
Taxpayers, bend over and grab. Here we go.
There you go.
Hey, look, the city of Richmond getting hit with $25 million taxes for a baseball field for a minor league team. And they division two. So that's more money than you hit with. Oh, by the way, Gary. Hey, Gary. You ain't getting away, Gary. 2,500 people at a Major League Baseball game with the Oakland Athletics. Really, Gary?
That's good, right?
2,500. Hell, they got more than a softball league. And they high school kids.
Guess what? The Vegas
Gary, should I bring my glove? And secondly, do you think it's possible in the midst of all of this, the people of Oakland that matter finally wake the fuck up and say, we're going to do something about this?
But Michael, the Las Vegas administration, if you don't give us money, you can't come in here.
Mm. That train done failed. They ain't doing nothing about it.
That's a damn shame.
Can't get a triple A team, Danny.
It's going to be a homeless team at the end of the year. It's homeless.
That's true. And again, you know, Las Vegas is willing to pay anything to get that baseball team. Please. Yeah. It's already starting.
Hey, Patrick, how much money is between Golden State Warriors and the L.A. Lakers generating You got people staying up here on the East Coast watching the game. I know they generate some big money in the betting.
Wait, I'm going to tell you, Reggie, you know what's up, Reg? My lady stayed up and watched the game last night. because she loves cute face. That's
the baby face assassin
and the Warriors. She loves the Warriors. She stayed up watching the Warriors. I said,
she had a really love Draymond Green. And Draymond got to argue with every official before he goes sit down.
Hey, Patrick,
if Draymond Green, Dennis Rodman reincarnated.
Please, man. Wait, imagine what that game's going to be like when they go back to L.A.
Oh, please.
The Clippers got nerdy and tried to build a new arena.
No, it's done. It'll be open up next year, September. They know what they're doing. Well, Obama got enough money to take care of the whole country's economy, man. That ain't none of him. You know?
Damn.
He won his own place, and he got it.
It's going to be funny when the Lakers got to play cross town and the Lakers fans take it over.
Hey. And the ratings were good. I saw the ratings numbers last night. The ratings, even if it's late, they don't care. They want to see that. And the Lakers won, too? Don't let the Lakers win. Oh, my God.
Hey, I don't know which is worse, the Lakers fans here in Virginia or the Knicks fans. Tony, I'm not taking no shots at you. I know what you said. Reg, at least I'm playing the series. I got so many Knicks fans coming out the woodworks down here. It's unreal.
Knicks fans like the Cowboys, like Brooklyn. They come out. No, and here's what's worse. Oh God, Knicks fans. Any kind of success. Okay, we're back. Okay, you're back this year. Okay, let's come back. Let's come back 2-3 more times, then we can say we're back.
Ask Mr. Butler about game one.
Terrible. But now, what I always felt sorry for my years of doing work in the league and having to go over to the Garden, which pissed me off more importantly because we in this front office go over to the Garden to get tickets. Those motherfuckers, excuse my French, had us up in the goddamn rafters. But when we're in my house, we have them, you know, in the first, second seat and right behind the bench. And you're going to put us in the rafters?
Hey, you got to make room for your quarterback with the Jets.
You sound like Spike Lee. Because they told him he couldn't go through his normal door.
Don't get Chris Rock. You got to make sure Chris Rock is there.
Reggie brings up a good point. You got the Jets and Aaron Rodgers coming in next year, as Tony says, Serpico.
Mm-hmm.
He's 38 years old. His better days are most definitely behind him.
Yes,
but
they
the
are.
Jets are going to try. They're going to try to win from memory. Now, there's no doubt they can win a game here and there. But
yes, they can
the Jets? Can the Jets be really taken serious with Rodgers at quarterback? I know you picked up Randall Cobb, so he's
got to be there. He's back with the Jets. I believe in coming back because his boy is there. I've said the Jets are definitely playoff contenders. There's no doubt they are contenders. Now, here's where the problem comes. All these knuckleheads around here going out their damn mind, we're going to Super Bowl. I said, you don't sound like the Dallas Cowboys. Right.
Let's make the playoffs and see what we can do. I'll tell you, Rodgers is going to be a ball control offense player. If you think he's going to do it 10 years ago, you're on crack. It's not going to happen. There was a time he's going to make some outs because he's a hell of a player. But he ain't going to do what he did 10 years ago. He got weapons. He can strip the ball. He'll be a ball control offense, and he'll make it happen. And that's fine. And it'll get there. And once you get to playoffs, anything can happen. But I ain't saying they're going to do it. I ain't going saying that.
Well, they can go to the Super Bowl, buy tickets. But see, when we have to look at
you're by right. I tell you what the Eagles did on defense, they might be back there next year again.
Okay.
The thing
you got to look at here is even with Aaron Rodgers coming in, unless the administration there for the Jets or any other team for that matter, unless they have done something, you know, he will make certain guys some better.
It's most definitely. Okay? Most definitely.
But if the guy was sorry last year because he was just sorry, he's going to be sorry again this coming year. So, no matter praying and laying hands on them, that's going to work. You've got, you know, talent takes, and granted, everybody in the NFL are good at something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that. At the same time, though, can Aaron Rodgers stimulate a team around him to maximize that talent they have? You know, that's going to be the rub here. And he's not going to have what he has in Green Bay. First of all, it ain't going to be that damn cold. And
that's true as the world,
I mean, even in New Jersey, it's not going to be that cold. At the same time, though, he's going from the backwoods of Green Bay. Town ain't that much bigger than Jacksonville, really. The whole press corps that is New York.
Remember,
in New York, in certain areas in New York, you're receiving two CBS feeds, two NBC feeds, God knows how many Fox feeds, and then you got all these little local channels that are all over the place up there. They're going to eat him, you know. He can forget that word that everybody likes to talk about, that privacy. Every mistake he makes from this point on, the green and gold, giving up green and gold, or green and yellow, or green and white, going to be a nightmare.
And Fred, that's why I'm saying he got some weapons behind him to help him out.
He got some weapons to help him out. He can't do it by himself no more. You're 100% correct. It ain't going to happen.
Well, he's going to need all the help he can get. Look at it this way. Patrick Mahomes has two rings already in his budding career. He's got almost 200 touchdown passes. He's almost averaging 40 TD passes a season. Now, the Buffalo quarterback, or Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, or Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, they get to the Super Bowl somehow, some way. You're the agent, Patrick. How much you going to ask for?
Ooh, good question.
How much are you going to weigh with?
Again, I think the outlier contract of Watson, a 230, is going to be the minimum.
Okay.
I said before, if Joe Burrow wins the Super Bowl this year,
he'll get a contract mm-hmm. above the line, maybe $300 million. He'll get
I agree,
because now and that's even by the fact that they're in the market where, you know, the big ones want to pay players by minimum wage, but this time they can't do that. So he'll be over that $300 million mark. But again, that's he got to win it. He just can't go in there. He got to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't worry mm-hmm. about the guy who plays for Cincinnati. They're two games down already, and possibly three. But go ahead.
hopefully they are. Fred, hopefully they are. One of them is coming. One of the ones with Browns, we can get to them, you know. So but we'll see what happens.
The same thing with the Browns. They two down plus possible one. So the Browns, they're down two. They're down four. But
no,
anyway.
We'll be better this year. We'll be better this year. We'll be better this year. I can guarantee you.
Okay.
We'll be better this year.
Okay.
And you know why we'll be better this year? Because if Stefanski knows,
they can't be no worse than they were last year.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, well,
you're
100%
correct.
Even if the Browns are going to be better this year, what's the likelihood of Mr. Jackson holding up with the extra money, allow him to get his game back, and get his mojo back? What happened to Jackson?
He's okay. He'll be fine. He'll be fine, man.
He's okay.
You know. Mm-hmm. You mean Watson, not Jackson? You mean Watson?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson. Oh, Deshaun's gonna be okay. Deshaun's gonna be okay. Yeah. He'll be all right. You know, and because one thing they did, they're taking some of the play calling out of Stefanski, because Stefanski's was play calling was coming too damn predictable. That was part of the problem last year. That was part of big time. So. We'll see what happens. Sometimes you got to let somebody who with some new ideas run the squad. You know, I mean, he's not the final thing, obvious, but he says that was part of the problem, and the players made that clear toward the end and when the season was over. You know, we got predictable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Well, see, the only problem with being predictable is can you be at the top of your game on every play? Even though they know what's coming, can you execute it? And that's the difference between a lot of these teams. You know, I'll just throw the Steelers out there. When they were at their height, they had guys coming off the bench that were starter quality on other teams.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL has done away with the ability to stock that kind of talent because you know, they had 45 guys doing most of that time. And, you know, when Franco went to or Blyer went to the bench, they brought in Hawthorne and the other guy, and they kept running.
Mm-hmm.
Same play, same block and pattern, everything. And the NFL did away with that with salary caps and all this other things.
There you go.
You know,
100% correct.
Your best player got to leave to get paid. You know, that makes no sense.
And, Fred, I'm picking up what you said. You need some veterans on the team to establish stability.
Right.
And the locker room. Establish the locker room.
There you go. You need them.
You go back and look at the offensive line. I think it changed in 8 years, they changed maybe, I think, 7 players.
Yeah.
You know, from the early 70s. And look, you know, they went from Ron Shanklin and – Lewis to
Dave Smith. Dave Smith was there.
You know,
it's
just like we sit down one good guy and we stand up a great guy, Swan and Sauer. I mean, that's not a bad tandem. Two Hall of Famers,
mm-hmm.
of course. You sit down two guys. And then you think about it. Their best tight end was an oversized wide receiver. You know, who didn't even play college ball. He played basketball in college.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at that formula that they use, the NFL has done away with the ability to even come close to that. Same thing, you know, and just since we have at least one Cowboy fan, they did the same thing. You sit one guy down. Remember, during the their run through the 70s in the Super Bowl, they had Preston Pearson, who was a cast off from Pittsburgh, but they were able to keep him because, you know, and he did great things for them. And hey, you know, they did okay. I mean, we beat them twice, but, you know, who's counting?
Hey, Patrick, who do you think Russell Wilson going to do? Is he going to bounce back this year, or do you think took too many Cam Newton shots to the head?
Who was that?
Russell Wilson.
I think Russ is going to be okay. I think Russ is going to be fine, man.
Russell Wilson could be okay.
He had a coach last year. He was tripping.
Yes, he was.
I think Russ will be okay. And, you know, there's something that really we got to deal with the fact that some of these coaches just ain't that good. Come on, man.
Some of the owners don't know what the hell they're doing either.
They can afford to do that. But my point is, you know, I mean, I can say, look, we had Joe Judge in New York. Come on, man. Joe Judge. Come on. Adam Gaze. Give me a freaking break. I mean,
I started at the coaches' race.
God, man.
Reggie, the most dangerous coaches that you can find anywhere is we're going to run our stuff regardless. Think about it. Look at all these white coaches who had black ass who could run and say, we don't want to run. So we're going to send him
get his ass broken up
to run their stuff. And at the end of the day, their stuff don't make no sense because, hey, they take away a weapon or several weapons actually because they're so pig-headed and their system is only it's like they invented football or even basketball. You have the same thing.
It's because they don't know no better. They don't know.
If you
go
back last year, Neanderthal.
You go back last year in Carolina lost in the championship game, right? They're playing a team that's not as good as they were athletically, but they were mature guys who played together and went out and kicked them young boys' ass. They were still running their stuff this year and didn't even make the playoffs.
Simplicity works. You can run what you run in your system and make it successful if you have simple personnel. You know,
That's what Darren Jones said about the Celtics. They only had seven planes they ran over and over again, and they only got seven national banners to work for it. God bless Red Auburn.
If you have Dorothy Explorer as your line coach, she can be successful because she keep it simple too. Doesn't matter if she says it in
Spanish.
Keep
it simple, stupid.
That's right. Cerramos aquí y cerramos allí y sigue para adelante y corre esta mierda en la calle.
Damn,
when that shit, Mike, I give you a tip. And run that shit in the alley. That's right.
Oh, by the way, Mike, everybody, you got to say happy birthday to this old fart. Happy birthday, old fart.
Yes, indeed.
I am in the middle of my old fart. I have to agree, and I thank the brothers and sisters for sending love and whatnot.
And even though I can't dine on lobster mac and cheese, I think I did.
I can't afford that shit. What's wrong with you? Sardines and biscuits.
It ain't the same, bro.
Yeah, give me some red lobster biscuits, frozen at that thing.
Gentlemen, it's time to close out. Reggie, shut it off for us, please.
Well, as I said before, my sister-in-law was, for those in here, that was her office where the guy came in and shot up today. So my wife talked to her. She's stressed and got to look at the possibility of going back to work in what was a war zone to many. And one fatality plus other numerous injuries. So please pray for the people in Atlanta, especially that situation. You see it on TV, but when you start to hear the family members, it started to hit home a little bit. So my prayers out to her.
That's a fucking costume.
Yeah, they arrested him about 3 hours ago. Yeah, they found him.
They got him.
Modern technology. Yeah, they got him.
He thought he going to get away.
Oh yeah. He already had a military and always had mental anxiety with the military. So a good lawyer is going to get him to plead insanity, you know, because of his damaging to the military. So you won't even hear about this guy no more.
Sure won't no more. You know, that's just
the way it goes. But fuck a Tucker Carlson. A white man don't fight like that. Them niggas fight crazy.
That's right.
I said, this bitch been a white supremacist from day one. Why are y'all surprised?
Thank you. Charlie Kirk.
Unreal. That's all I got, guys. Unreal. Take it on. That's all
Sweet
I got.
Patrick, throw something in, brother.
Yep. Hey, man, you know, it's baseball season. And by the way, Fred, our children proud you're going to be better. They're playing some great ball. Great ball in first place.
Can't even play yet.
Wait, I know one thing. They beat up my daughters out in L.A. and in Pittsburgh, so they're doing well. Even though I miss my boy, O'Neal Cruz, he's out until, like, August. 6'7" quarterback. It's just a shortstop. Unreal.
We'll sell him before he
needs it. Out in Kansas City, where the Negro Baseball Museum is, they're now on a fund drive. They raised $25 million to expand the building. There's some black ball players that contributed to that big time. And when they build it, the first person they ought to put in there as a new inductee will be not only in there is Kurt Flood, because if it wasn't for him,
Nicknogs
would not be making that money they're making to even contribute to it.
That's right. I like that. I like that a lot. Professor.
Well, I want to say goodbye to one of my nieces who passed away a week ago. Suffered from multiple
sclerosis.
She finally got the best of her. When my brother and his wife were sick, she was a nurse, and you'd have thought that my brother and his wife were her mother and father, because the way she looked out for them. Also, on a happier note, my nephew, who is one of the better players in the state of North Carolina, Zay, has committed to Duke University, going into his senior year he's in high school in Charlotte. And here's a few weeks ago, near the end of the season, he lit up a new record for 62 points in a single game, and it was no overtime. So, I just tell me he got his uncle's talents, but he's a great kid doing these things.
Who was guarding him?
nobody was guarding him. Well, the way they play now, it has to be man to man, because nobody guards on their own that far out. But, you know,
they can't touch him.
No, you can't. But anyway, finally, starting this past Monday, I moved my focus back to working on the HBCU Heritage Center. We got stuff pretty well set up to move forward with the project down at Blomberg Institute. We'll be hearing about that in the next few weeks because they're voting on it tomorrow. The board has a presentation, so they'll be voting on it tomorrow. But, you know, we have to tell our own story, and one of the ways we tell our story is by preserving what we know, what we have. And if we do what we're supposed to do, we'll have all that kind of stuff taken care of. And
true that.
Among the people who will be going into their Wall of Honor will be, and they're talking about naming the gym after Sam Jones and one Charlie Scott who played there, played there, and both of them in Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Right on www.blackheritagereview.com. T-shirts, knowledge, all kinds of good stuff like that. Any day is a good day for some black history.
Go right on, bro.
But
Gary, come on in, bro.
All right, 2016 Olympic gold medal winner. Track star. Story Bowie.
Yes.
She was found in her home, passed away at 32 years old.
32 years old. Mm.
Tori Bowie was one of the greatest players I've ever seen. Tori Bowie had my heart in 2016. Tori Bowie is gone. It's unbelievable. I still can't believe it. 32 years old. Blessing to all people. And I'll tell you, you better take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Play up a goal, 1 o'clock on Saturday.
You read about that. When you say take care of yourself the way you did, it reminded me of Jerry Springer. Now, everybody made fun of Jerry doing the crazy shit with these trailer trash folks and all this other stuff. But one thing he always used to say was, take care of yourself and each other. And when you look at it, each other was always what mattered, because each other he referred to was the folks who had to deal with shit every day. Whether it's a couple of people or a group of people or whatever, you had to deal with the fact that every day is going to make you kind of sigh. You may have your dramatic moments, but at the end of the day, who's there with you? Who you ended up with? How you solve problems during the course of the day? That's what matters. So, anybody who paid for a prostitute with a check is my kind of guy. Jerry was smart like that. He didn't give a fuck. So having said that, I leave you with real and quick and the words, please, take care of yourself and each other.
Vera, you know we tally up at 4 o'clock. What is your problem?
Kiss my ass, sugar. I've got to watch my girls until the last trick is gone, and I'm not about to ask no customer to roll over so I can punch some goddamn clock. Now, this is your place, but I am in charge of the girls. And you just kiss my ass.
Oh, baby, please.
Stop it.
So, baby, how are we doing now?
We made about 200.
200? Your girls been back there all night. How'd they only make $200?
You kissed my ass quick. I don't never say nothing to you when the crap table and the bar come up short.
Because the bar and the crap table never come up short, just the girls.
Uh-oh.
Now, calm down, Vera.
Kiss my ass, sugar. I want to know what it is Quick is trying to say.
I ain't trying to say shit. You in charge of the girls, right?
I am in charge of the girls.
Are you in charge of the girls?
I am in charge of the girls.
Okay, the girls are always coming up short, all right? Let's get the shit out in the open. The girls are always coming up short. Even when the place is packed, the girls come up short. Now, either you or them got a problem with their arithmetic.
Are you saying I'm stealing?
The man didn't say you were stealing, girl. Now, come on over here and sit down and shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up, Benny. I would tell you to kiss my ass, too, but you probably can't find it, you blind motherfucker.
Fuck you, bitch.
Me and you got to step out back.
Hey, it was just a misunderstanding.
Uh-uh. No, it ain't. It ain't no misunderstanding. Quick just accused me of stealing. And if you're going to take up for Quick in here, we can all be some fighting motherfuckers in here this evening. Bring your ass, nigga. Bring it on. Come on. Bring your ass. Come on, get up and come on, motherfucker.
I want to see Quick
getting
his old bitch ass.
I want to
see this, too.
Come on, Quick, don't beat yourself. All right, bitch, you want to fight? We can fight then. You fat motherfucker, I'm tired of your shit.
Just bring your
ass. I'm going to beat the shit out of your ass. You, oh, Jesus. No, don't hold me, sugar. No, let me go, sugar. Let me go.
Scare them.
Watch your ass.
No, nigga, don't hold me. Don't hold me.
You better watch it quick. You fucking with a heavyweight.
I'm some kind of dog. I'll kick his ass right out here right now.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, come on, Vera. Don't you want to talk about that?
I ain't got nothing to say. You done insulted me, and I got to kick your ass right now. And afterwards, I don't want no hard feelings either.
So what the fuck is wrong with you?
Ain't nothing wrong with me. What the fuck is wrong with you? You done accused me of stealing. The only thing I'm stealing out here today is your face.
You out of your fucking mind?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, sucker. Let's get it on.
Oh, you want to fight? You want to fight? Well, then come on, goddammit. You've been fucking me since. I'm going to beat the shit out of your old ass in this motherfucker, too. Yeah. You have to punch people in their eyes, right? Right? Bitch, that all you got? Yeah, you didn't think it was going to be like that, right? And now I'm going to blast your motherfucking teeth out.
Nigga, you hit like a bitch.
Oh, you're a little slower than you thought, ain't you, huh? Yeah, I punch like a bitch, huh? Okay, I punch like a bitch? You'll say goodnight to this bitch right now.
You're going to have to learn to respect me. And the next time you accuse me of stealing, I'm going to kick your ass again.
You crazy bitch!
Oh, you wanna hit people with garbage cans. Now I got to cut you.
Here, put that razor away. I ain't playing no more. You put that fucking razor away, I'm gonna blow your goddamn pinky toe off.
Oh, now you're gonna shoot me in my pinky toe.
I'm not playing with you. I will blow that little black, gnarled, crusty, dead motherfucker the fuck off your foot. Now put the razor away.
You must be crazy to pull your gun on me.
You're going to be the nine-toe having this limping this bitch in Harlem. You don't stop fucking with me. Now put the razor away.
Well, go ahead. Shoot, here it is. There it is. Shoot, quick, go ahead. Take your best shot.
You didn't have to shoot that old lady in the foot, man.
Sugar, she was trying to kill me.
She wasn't trying to kill you. She was just trying to scare you.
That's bullshit. The bitch pulled a razor out and was going to cut me with it. I usually kill somebody over some shit like that. I don't even want to talk about it no more.
You whipped your ass.
Fuck you, man.
And if you hadn't had that gun, she'd still be whipping your ass.
You know, y'all laughing at the wrong shit.
Shut me in my pinky toe.
I know,
man. I'm going to put what's left of my foot in your ass. I'm going to kill him, sugar.
Please, be careful.
I'm
going to
kill him out.
Don't kill him.
Just relax. Oh, if I could get up from here.
Sarah.
We're going to find your toast. You got to stop overreacting.
Overreacting?
Yes.
Then get your old ass in the car.
Oh, man, fuck you. Next time you fight somebody, pick on somebody your own size. Get in there.
I promise you're going to find your toe. At least I think he will. Have a good night, everybody.
Mm-hmm.